Hey, what's going on? It's Mike. Yeah, man. This is Ego and Vice, episode 48.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Hey, what's going on? This is episode number 48 of Ego and Vice. It's good to be back. I've been not doing much all week. Just kind of sitting on my couch. I hurt my back the other week. So every time I bend over, getting old kind of sucks. But hey, you know, I'm getting by. I'm going to work and just preparing for a tour that's coming up and trying to save some money. However, I do have a guest in the studio. Her name is Sheila Dennison.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm super happy to have her. We are old friends, and she was on episode 7 of Ego and Vice way back in the day, like a year ago. She was almost like, I say episode 1 to 10, anyone that was on the show were like the guinea pigs. I was the biggest guinea pig, so thank you so much for humoring me during those times when I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Well, thanks for having me back. Some good practice. I want to have my own podcast someday.
So. I know you do. And we've talked about that over the course of the time that we've been hanging out. How about that tornado? Like, what was that all about?
I was so lucky. I didn't get affected by it.
Really?
I kind of slept through most of it, to be honest, and then woke up to all the crazy stuff going on. Some of my friends like had some damage to their apartment, and a lot of friends lost power for a few days.
I lost power for about 36 hours, which is not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things, because some people actually lost their homes, like in Dunrobin and like Craig Henry and stuff like that. It's really funny. Did you get the warning on your phone? The beep, beep.
I didn't get any warning.
You didn't, eh? And you live like downtown.
Yeah, I'm in the market.
I wonder if those like phone alerts are only for certain people. Not for you, but like for people in certain areas
certain
and stuff.
Phone carriers? I don't know.
I don't know. I just thought it would go across like Ottawa. But who would think like an actual tornado would hit Ottawa? That's so crazy.
Hey, we had the right weather combo.
What is that? What does that mean?
Warm weather, thunderstorm.
Oh. Has Ottawa ever had a tornado before?
I don't think to this level. I think we set a record.
For the biggest tornado ever?
For the biggest tornado to hit Ottawa, I think.
Jesus Christ. It was crazy because the thing popped up on my phone. And when it pops up on my phone, I'm just like, meh.
I think that's what we all did.
It'll probably just rain a little bit.
Well, there was nothing in the forecast for tornado. It's just thunderstorms, so nobody really expected it.
But. Yeah, but it's Ottawa, too. It's like, does that actually happen? Mm. Oh, my God. I guess it does. I feel for those people. My patio umbrella outside, I'm still trying to find it. I don't know where.
Oh, it blew away in the wind.
It's gone.
It's in someone's backyard.
There were some pieces laying in the backyard, but I had that umbrella for 2 years. I was very fond of it. But umbrella is nothing next to the people that were affected heavily, so I apologize mm-hmm. for complaining about it. It's my first world problem. Anyway, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
It's awesome to see you.
It's good to see you too.
Yeah, thanks for coming out again. Mm-hmm. So how's your week been?
It's been pretty good. Pretty laid back.
Yeah. What's a week entail for you?
Well, started a new job.
Oh, yeah?
So working in food services in the medical field, just getting used to that. It's a lot to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Preparing food for sick and injured people in the hospital. So.
How are the people? Like the people you work with, are they nice?
Yeah. Yeah, they're really good.
I find starting a new job is hard.
There's so many people that I work with. It's all just like a nod and smile type of thing.
Yeah, because
like most jobs.
It's funny when you start a new job too. It's you have to go in on your like your best smile and be like, yay, and they, and then the longer you're there, you start figuring out like who the jerks are because the people start talking. Don't talk to that person. She's a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the clicks.
That was my only friend I had. That's cool. I don't know. So are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's good. It's going to help me, you know, secure my finances, pay off some of my student loan debt, get my license soon.
Oh, yeah, your driver's license?
Yeah, I don't have my G1 yet, and my little brothers are starting to drive, so I need to get my butt in gear, no pun intended.
Yeah, that whole driver's license thing, back in my day, I just went to the MTO and wrote my beginners when I was like 16, and like a month later I booked a road test and just got my license.
Yeah, I should have done it when I was 16. Put it off.
It's crazy, like the whole graduated licensing, like Sarah Destruction. Mm-hmm. She got her license about a year ago. It took her like 2 years to get her license.
Yeah, it takes a while now. It's $150 for your G1, and then you have to wait a year after that.
And then there's all these rules where you can't drive
on the highway
at night or with unless you're with somebody who has a license for X amount of time. Mm-hmm. I guess in the long run that's a good thing. Because it's keeping, like, people off the road, like, bad drivers off the road. But, you know, I did all right. I've only been in a couple accidents.
Just a couple.
Yeah, well.
A little fender bender.
Nobody got hurt, so what are you going to do?
I wonder if I'll be a good driver. I think I will.
Have you ever driven a car before?
Once on a back road.
Back road.
I was about 16, 17.
Okay.
Friend let me in the back road. I was really scared.
How'd you do?
Not well. I was panicking. So, yeah.
Well, you know, that's a machine. You know, you're like, okay, now I'm driving. I think when I took to driving pretty good. You'll be fine, though. You're going through some sort of driving school or something?
I haven't decided yet. I've got my dad and my two brothers that are going to help me. My mom, too. Lots of friends and family. So, I might just skip the driver's ed. And
then you can just take, like, the test for G1, G2, and then G? Okay, that's cool. Anyway. Yeah, driving is a good thing. I just bought a car.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw your post.
Yeah, I called her Betty. She's lovely. I love my car.
I don't know much about cars. What kind of car is it again?
It's a Ford Focus SE 2013. It's used, yo, but hey, it's beautiful. I couldn't pass it up. I woke up one morning and I was just, I think it was like a Saturday morning, and I rolled over and I played on my phone and I was just like, what do I do today? And I was just like, I think I should go for coffee. Oh, you know what? Maybe I'll buy a car. And I bought a car. So, and it's great because I was driving that big van. You've seen that van.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. It's embarrassing. I can't drive that van forever. So I bought a car and it's awesome. But I never drive the car. All I do is drive the van.
Cause you still have the van?
Yeah. You know, it's my work van. So, and I work like 80% of the time. So the car basically sits in the driveway and I pay for it to sit in the driveway. It's a very expensive parking space. Anyway. So new job. That's awesome.
Yes, definitely. Because it also enables me to stay in the music scene a little bit. Mm. I'm a casual employee on call for now.
Yeah.
And I don't have to work 40 hours a week.
That's the dream. Get out of that. Get out of that mess.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want more hours, though.
Oh, yeah?
At the hospital. I'm kind of struggling right now because...
How long have you been there?
5 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you like a part-time worker?
Casual.
Casual.
So I have to finish my 450 hours of probation before I can actually apply for a part-time job.
Okay. Yeah. Some places are like that, right? Is it like a seniority thing? It's unionized?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's the stuff you got to kind of like some hoops you got to jump through, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to stuff. Yeah. But that's good. You know what I mean?
I'd like to be a clerk at the hospital someday. So once I start to see how it's going, you know, the people who put the bracelet on you and check you in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to do that.
Okay. That's what a clerk is?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like sit behind like the main desk and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Oh, okay.
The glass, cool. A little hole in the glass.
Yeah, right. It's just like, yeah, it's like my doctor's office where you have to hand them your health card and they grab it with like a pair of tongs. You ever seen that? No? Okay. It's like, I swear to God, I just need some meds refilled.
No, it's going to be good though for me because like I said, I can still stay in the music scene and keep that as a side thing, work on my social skills, be able to speak French a little bit. I'm bilingual.
Yeah. Well, you've always been involved in the music scene, and that's where we met. Mm-hmm. And we've, like I said, we've kept in touch for, you know, the last year or whatnot since the last time you were on the show. Last time we ran into each other was at the Frank Turner show.
Last week.
Yeah, yeah. That was awesome. I didn't even know you were going to be there. Bought some Frank Turner tickets. We're supposed to see the Menzingers. Menzingers didn't show up, so Bad Cop showed up. I'm pals with Stacey D, so it was like super cool to see all that. And lo and behold, I walk out into the hallway And there's Sheila. And she's like, she's got her battle gear on because she was keeping the peace.
Yeah, I do security once in a while whenever there's a gig I want to be at or mm-hmm. I just want to be connected. Mm-hmm. I'll grab a shift with camp ops. They're great.
Yeah. Do you enjoy that too?
I do.
That's just like a part time. That's just like once in a while you do that? Or?
Yeah, that's right. Like I can choose any shift I want.
Mm-hmm. So you're like first in line to see awesome stuff, even though you're doing like security though.
That's right.
Do you still get to like, do you have to like be on guard all the time in the hallways, making sure like drunk people don't like fall down, or can you actually go into the hall and like watch the show?
It depends where they put me. If it's a band I really want to see, like I'll tell them, hey, like I'm really into this band. Can I be near the crowd or can I be inside?
Like right off the stage where you're pushing people back and stuff?
Yeah, I've done barricade a few times. Actually, my first time working behind the barricade was for Propagandi.
Oh, nice.
That was a really cool show.
I missed that show. I would have loved to see that show, but something happened. I remember I was going to go, but something happened. Shit happens. What are you going to do?
My second time doing Behind the Barricade was for Black Dahlia Murder. That was pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was a good time.
Was that like is that like metal?
Yes.
Very
not
metal?
Like deathcore.
Oh,
death metal.
Shit. So the crowd was nuts.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah. But the security was nutser.
Oh, we keep them under control. We keep them under control.
That's cool.
For the most part, it's good. It's good people in the metal scene in Ottawa, always looking out for each other. And if anyone falls, you lift them up. And
the Frank Turner show was at Bronson Center.
Yeah, that's where the other two shows too.
Is that mainly where you do like security in that?
Yeah. Sometimes I'll do security at House of Targ or 27 Club. Rarely.
That's cool. Yeah, House of Targ, man, that's been around for quite a while. I think that's where we first kind of met.
I think so.
Is that right? Where did we meet for the first time? I don't know either.
Maybe Targ are at a show.
I don't know. Maybe we've just...
Well, I've seen Goat before.
Yeah. I've seen them a couple times. Fucking terrible band. I don't know. Maybe we've just known each other forever. Who knows?
Actually, you guys opened for CJ Ramone that one time.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Targ,
I think that
yeah.
was one of the first times that
was
I
it?
Met you.
Okay, cool.
Because I was helping promote that show.
Awesome.
And I was at the show as well.
I was... I'm going to be honest with you. I was never like a huge Ramones fan. I knew who the Ramones were and I enjoyed the Ramones for who they were and whatever. And when we got that gig with CJ Ramone, it was just like, oh, cool. We're playing with CJ Ramone. That was fun. And it was a really fun gig. But the fucking crazy thing is that like 2 years later, I joined the band The Riptides and they are huge Ramones fans. So, and now it's like later, even though I played with CJ Ramone, now because I've been just so immersed in like the Ramones with like the Riptides, I'm like a huge Ramones fan like 40 years later or however long the Ramones were around for.
So you're late a little bit.
And now I'm like, I wish I would have paid more attention at the CJ Ramone show. I'm like, Jesus, I just went and played or whatever. So, yeah.
I remember him saying like, I'm the only one still kicking so I can play whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah, fair enough. Which is... insulting, but I guess his right. Fair enough. Poor Joey and Dee Dee and all the other guys. No, I think Dee Dee... No, is Dee Dee still alive? Or I might have to check my facts on that. I apologize. Hey, let's play a song. What do you think? What do you want to hear?
Let's play a song by Death Exclamations.
Good, dirty local band.
Yes. Some good pals of mine from House of Targ. Davey and Sammy are in that band.
Okay. Cool, man. What do you want to hear?
Give Up and Die.
This is Give Up and Die by Death Exclamations. This is a Sheila Dennison production. This is Ego and Vice, episode 48. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. Normally on Ego and Vice, what I usually stick to is a format. If like a musician comes on or an artist or local business people come on, I'll ask them questions. Even when Sheila was on the first time, you know, it was like this kind of like long question period and stuff like that. But every once in a while, I like to have friends on or return guests, and we just kind of shoot the shit about stuff. And, you know, this episode is not so much a formula. It's just some friends sitting down and having a conversation. However, Sheila, I want to ask you about last time you were on, we talked about your days with Epitaph Records and your stuff around town, like doing booking shows and stuff like that. You have a column now.
That's right. Yeah.
Called Sisters in the City. Tell us all about that. I'm super excited about it. I caught one of them with Christina Casper from Chord Productions, and I read through it. But you've done 8 of them?
That's right, since March.
All right, so what the fuck's going on?
It was a good idea that I had. I wanted to interview different women in the scene, like arts, entertainment, business scene, whether it's people just starting out, making a name for themselves, or people who have been doing it for a while who are like veterans, and all different parts. So not just people in bands, not just promoters, not just one job. So all kinds of different people.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I respect that a lot. It's these women that are contributing to the Ottawa community.
Yeah, there's a lot of really awesome men in our scene, but it's a bit male dominated. So I thought it'd be a really cool column to just highlight the women in our scene, too.
And the women that you have interviewed, which are 8 and you're going to name them shortly, is how did you choose them? Like, how did you research it and find out who you wanted to talk to?
Initially, I had a few ideas of women that I know personally that I'm inspired by. And so it started with that. And then every person that I interview, I ask them if they have suggestions. So now I just have this master awesome list of people to interview. And I predict this column is going to be going for a while now.
Cool. And you do it through the House of Targ fanzine?
That's right. Yeah. Blake, really awesome. He's been helping me out.
The Bearded Wizard?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. And how do you... did you ever interview anybody before?
For projects in college, a little bit. Mm-hmm. I did a music business management course, I'm sure I talked about last time on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So I had a few classes where I had to interview people in the music business, mm-hmm. which was really cool. But on my own, for my own projects, other than homework, no, I haven't interviewed anybody. So that was a really cool experience for me because I'm an extrovert and I love being social.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. And what made you come up with the idea to do this? Like, you just were laying in bed one day staring at the ceiling and you went, you know what? I'm going to do this.
I love writing and I wanted to do something, where I could be creative and like I said earlier, showcase women who work really hard in our scene. And because it is a male dominated industry, so I thought it'd be really cool to give women a platform.
It's too bad you can't interview yourself, or I guess that's my job now, because you're one of them.
Well, luckily I get to be on your podcast, so you get to interview me.
Yay, lucky me. Hooray. So, and it's been going good. How long have you been doing it now?
Since March.
Okay.
So, yeah, 8 months.
And so you do one a month?
That's right, yeah.
All right. So what do you have on your list there?
So last person I interviewed was Kim. She's the owner of Camp Operations, the security company that I work for. She's awesome. And like you mentioned, Christina, she's a concert promoter, well-known in Ottawa and
big
the metal
shout out
scene.
To Christina.
Nadia, who is the former owner of Raw Sugar Cafe, which was a staple live music venue in Ottawa for 7+ years and cultural hub. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace, Raw Sugar Cafe, 2015.
Oh.
Maria, a personal friend of mine who's a women's rights activist and artist and a musician. My friend Emily, who's a visual artist and she works at the Ottawa School of Art. Azarin, director of industry programming at Ottawa International Animation Festival and the co-founder of Ottawa Explosion Weekend. Mick Michelle, she's a very talented mural artist and she's been a backbone in the urban art scene for over 10 years in Ottawa. And Adrian Smith, who's a concert photographer and a music blogger.
Awesome.
So as you can see, lots of different jobs there.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of different jobs, a lot of different points of the city that are covered as far as the community and the family of Ottawa, right? How can we find these? Is it just in the Targ zine, or do you have some way like we can read these pieces? Or
so you can stroll into Targ and get some pierogies and grab a zine there and read it, or you can go on the House of Targ website and it's all on there.
They're all archived there?
Yeah.
Awesome. You seem to be building a bit of a clientele when it comes to interviewing people, and you had said before that you would really love to start a podcast, and it seems like you're kind of on your way already, just on paper. So what's going on? You're going to start a podcast? You've been talking about this for, I don't know, a few months. We've discussed it. Are you ready, or what's happening?
I'm definitely ready. I had a lot of stuff that I had to figure out personally. Okay. I had a lot of anxiousness and nervousness. And so I had all these goals I wanted to accomplish, but there was a lot in my life that I was in denial about.
Okay.
And so I've just been handed a massive dose of self-awareness, and I've been getting into therapy and self-help. I read this book that just really helped. Mm-hmm. With certain things I was going through. I did take a bit of a hiatus from the music business too for a while.
And yeah, we all need that sometimes.
Yeah, to work on myself. So now that I'm feeling a lot better, like I'm ready to pursue all these ideas that I have. And
well, that's awesome to hear. And like I said, when it comes to podcasting, even though I have no friggin' idea what I'm doing, I'll help you out in any way I can. And I'd love to see you get something, you know, on the internet or somewhere.
That'd be awesome. You know, I really want to be a writer and music blogger, and I'd like to have my own podcast, maybe have a YouTube channel and do some videos as well.
Well, it all ties in hand in hand, yeah. Right? Where you could do the podcast and the YouTube channel and, you know, your blog, you can do it, right? You can do the blog, but you can also do like the live blog just on the podcast. You just put it all together, find something that just encapsulates the whole, like all your ideas and just... whatever. I think the podcast is a great thing because you're very well spoken too. Like,
Thank you.
I enjoy having a conversation with you. You're a very intelligent person, and I've never been interviewed by you because I'm not a Sister in the City. But hey, maybe I am. Maybe you should interview me for Sisters in the City. The big twist, maybe. No.
Hey, I'll definitely have you on my podcast whenever it comes around.
Yeah, let's do that. Let me be a guest at some point. But that's awesome. And I understand about having to try and figure stuff out like internally and stuff. I also have been to therapy. I'm on a bit of, I'm on some meds, which the good listener of Ego and Vice knows that I've gone through my own struggles and stuff like that. And sometimes you just have to get your shit together before you can kind of move forward. But as long as you keep trying, and one day you'll wake up and you'll just be like, yeah, you know, it's time to kind of do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
you know, I was realizing that it takes time to learn things, and that's okay. And sometimes you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone.
Oh, for sure.
And that's been really tough sometimes for me.
Yeah. I think with today, and tell me how you think about this. Like today, everything is very fast, like now and stuff like that. And even for me, like when I started this podcast, you go back and listen episodes through like 1 through 4, and I had no idea what I was doing, and I sounded like nervous and scared because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing because I was out of my comfort zone. I'm comfortable on stage acting like an asshole playing punk rock in front of people, but I'd never spoken to anybody through a microphone and then put it out to the world for people to listen to. So I was really worried about that. But the more you do it, and I've taken time off and you know, kind of searched inside to find, you know, different confidence and stuff like that. And now it's just like, yeah, you know, sometimes you just have to take your time. Not everything can be instant. Sometimes you have to take a week, a month, a year, just to kind of like, you know, figure out where you're at.
Yeah, and definitely. There's no shame in that. And then you come back stronger.
No, absolutely. I always thought I was a person that didn't need a lot of help when it came to mental health and stuff. And what I realized in the last year is that, yeah, I kind of do. And I need to kind of be kind to myself instead of just beating the shit out of myself, which I did. But
changing your thought patterns is extremely hard. You have to really want it.
Yeah.
You have to be ready. It took me almost 2 years of serious cognitive reflection to really break out of certain habits that were bringing me down.
Yeah.
Audiobooks, self-help books, lectures, podcasts, YouTube videos, TED Talks, all that stuff. And then it just kind of worked its way into my life and became like a regular thing and helped.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really does. Because I remember when I was going through a little bit of a really hard time about maybe 4 months ago, I called you up or I texted you up and I'm like, what are you doing tonight? And you're like, I'm making tacos. I'm like, do you mind if I come over? I just want to hang out. And you're like, yeah, come on over. And we sat and we talked, and you helped me out a lot that night, and we ate tacos, and you showed me some YouTube seminars.
Of
somebody, and I watched them too, and then I said, oh my God, I've been doing a ton of that. You know what I mean? Just like self-help. I find a lot of, you have to be careful with that too, though, because you have to find something that works for you, because if you, like, just absolutely, because there's so much information on the internet and there's so many self-help things on YouTube and stuff like that. If you go oversaturate yourself, you get a lot of contradicting kind of information where it's more confusing than anything. But if you can find somebody that makes sense to you and they have like a series of maybe a book or YouTube videos, and you can kind of stay with that one thought which you can relate to, then it helps out more than just watching random.
Definitely.
Random.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Because I got a lot of like contradicting stuff where I was like more confused than I was before I started doing that. But it was very helpful for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Back to what you said about being a fast industry, the music business, like, or even just today. The social media, swipe right, swipe left.
Exactly.
Culture.
Exactly. Shopping for people.
I expected to be doing sound by now. And I didn't take into consideration, you know, how much work and practice that takes, especially for someone who doesn't have a lot of experience being around a soundboard, sound checking bands, setting up instruments. I've never played a guitar or an instrument that needs to be amplified, so I've never lugged around an amp and amplified an instrument. So
sure,
for me, holding a guitar and plugging it in, and that's a bit weird for me. So I need to get used to that. And I, you know, I've shadowed a few techs, good friends of mine, but I need to do it more than a handful of times or more than a dozen times to really get the feel for it. So
no,
I have a lot more work to do.
Absolutely. And I agree with that. And the biggest, and this is super cliche, but you told me of a show that you kind of got overwhelmed at.
Yeah.
But those are the kind of things that make you learn, right? You learn from the mistakes.
Definitely.
Of them, for sure. That's what we talked about before.
Pushing yourself out of your comfort
zone.
Yeah.
And it's just like, if I could, I've had less successes than falling on my face. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've made more mistakes than I've done good things. But the good things all came from the mistakes I made.
And they're so worth it.
Yeah, and you have to learn from it. So that's awesome that you have that drive inside you and don't quit. And I know you haven't. If you need to step away, step away and do your thing. Come back stronger and make more mistakes. Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? You're going to come out on top one way or another.
Yeah, it helps when you have such awesome people to learn from too, and who'll just let you be there and ask as many questions as you need, and you know, maybe mess up a few things to learn. So setting up mics and then coming over, well, maybe you could, you know, change this up, or they'll show me how to do things better, or go mic the drum kit, and then they'll come over and you know, either the person in the band will tell me how they like it, or the sound tech will be like, no, don't do that. Or
of course, and if you have that privilege to have somebody kind of show you what to do, when
every venue has a different setup.
Exactly.
Too,
so. Don't just sit there and play on your phone when you have nothing to do. Just sit there and watch and absorb and learn, even from afar. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If they're not right hands on with their arms saying, do this, if they're just doing their own thing, just watch and see, try and, you know.
The bands will start coming up to you and asking you questions too, because they assume you're part of the crew.
For sure. And you know,
and you pretend like you know what you're talking about.
It's all a learning process. Everyone has to cut their teeth and everyone has to pay their dues. And you know, sometimes it's a long process. And I think that rebounds back to everybody wants something fast. It's just like, oh, I think I know how to do that. And then maybe you don't. Take your time. I'd rather take time and do something right than just, you know, be flashy and do something quick and be like, bleh, you know what I mean?
Because
In the long run, that's the longevity, and that's where you're going to get the respect from the people that you need the respect from, especially in sound or anything, right?
I used to get really nervous before going to shadow someone, which is the silliest thing, because I don't even have any responsibility. I'm there to observe and to learn. And every person I've shadowed has been really nice. They don't push me. They don't make me do things I'm not comfortable doing.
No.
They explain what they're doing as we're going. So every time I've left a venue after shadowing, I feel so great, on top of the world. And I even impress myself with things that I do and things that I know.
And you might even come out of there with something that you didn't even realize you learned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it wasn't completely hands-on just from watching, you might be like, oh, next time you're in this situation, you'd be like, I remember this situation or something similar to it. I know how to handle it. So cool. Sisters in the City, check that out for sure. Go to Targ, go on the Targ website and see the archive of that and read all of Sheila's work. I think we're going to play another song and we're going to come back and talk some more.
Sounds good.
And again, because we're winging it, and this is one of those in-between structured Ego and Vice episodes, we have no idea what we're going to play, but something's going to come up and something's going to be local. All right, with Sheila, this is Ego and Vice, episode 48.
Thank you.
like I've been playing music for like 20 years and I know nothing about live sound. Like I don't know how to do it. Like I know how to go on stage and play and ask the sound guy to like turn my guitar up and stuff. But realistically, I'd be a terrible sound guy. Have you ever done like live sound before?
Kind of once on my own. I tried to book a show last May at Black Squirrel. And on top of booking the show and doing the promotion and kind of running the show, I thought I could do live sound as well. And my door person bailed, so I had to kind of split myself between the door and setting everything up. Luckily, I was smart enough to bring a live sound guide to the venue to help me out, just in case a really good friend of mine named Gary, who does sound at Prest and a few other places around town. So he was on site, and he ended up doing a little bit more work than I planned. But
What happened?
Well, it was a really simple setup, and I got a little bit overwhelmed even still. Like 8-channel board, no monitors, 2 guitar, bass, 5-piece drums, you know, basic setup. It just being split between working the door, I didn't have my full attention on it, and I just got way too nervous. Yeah. And like feedback happened, and I didn't know how to fix it and things like that. And Gary ended up doing most of the sound that night just to kind of relieve some of the stress. But I learned a lot, and I realized, you know, it was a humbling experience. I still have a lot to learn, and I'm just going to have to keep at it if it's something I really want to do.
That's awesome. And I think one of the main ways you can learn things is to be humbled like that sometimes, where it's just like it's a different animal when you're in, like, if you figure, like, you said you took some, what were you talking about? Where it was like the live classes or something?
Right.
Or?
Yeah. There's a bunch of awesome, like, local sound techs who have been there for me, who've offered me to come shadow whatever venue they're working at. So there's one sound tech from Ottawa who's now based in Toronto. Her name's Max. And she has this course. It's a DIY sound tech course for women. And so I've done that twice, where she kind of just like goes through the basics with us, tells us about her job, runs down like analog board, digital board, basic gear, what a stage plot looks like, input list looks like, and then they'll put us in rooms in Capitol Rehearsal Studio with a little 8-channel board and some microphones, and just let us mess around and learn from making mistakes and making feedback and making noise.
Yeah, learn the fundamentals, and that's yeah. Soup that.
Oh, and she makes sure everybody sound checks a real band too, so she brings in a band, which is
that's cool.
Yeah, it's great.
That's super helpful, and that's a great learning tool, and that's, like I said, it's a great foundation to like kind of move forward in your career in sound and stuff like that. Talking back at the Black Squirrel, there's a big difference from sitting in a kind of controlled space to being at like a bar when the feedback starts and the band's looking at you and the crowd's looking at you to look at that board and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. But I think you have to be put in that space to be able to handle it.
You will.
So, and that's where I'm going to learn the most.
It's,
so.
it's like baptized by fire or trial by fire, right? And pretty soon down the road, if that happens again, they'll look at you and you'll be like, yeah, right, relax, dude. And you just shut it off. So yeah, good on you, man. That's super awesome.
Can I give a shout out to some of these awesome local sound techs who've been there for me?
Of course.
Gary, Cam, Topon, Max, Ian, Eric, Ray, Mike, and Alex. All awesome people. So thank you very much.
You know, you're changing lives out there. Just get involved in your community and help other artists and musicians and just local people out, because you never know. You never know who you're helping, and you never know whose life you're actually changing. And you know, in the end, we're all part of the same kind of collective. And, you know, just be good to people, help people out, because you never know what you're doing, right? I'm sure they really appreciate the help, or the shout out, if you will. And you really appreciate the help, because one day you're going to be the sound person of the year, I tell you.
I have a lot of cable coiling to practice, let's just say.
Goat's going on tour next year, so hey, man, if you want to be our traveling sound person, you're our first bet.
A touring sound tech. Ooh.
Ooh, what the hell? I don't know. I'm just saying. So as long as we've known each other, I've always considered you a very goal-oriented person. It seems like you have lots of great ideas, a lot of ambition, and a lot of things on the go. Like, what's next?
Well, whenever I was a young teenager, I had this dream that I wanted to be a concert promoter, an agent, you know, big time, maybe have my own venue one day. And, you know, the more I get to know myself, I'm getting a little bit older, and now that my confidence has skyrocketed, you know, with just the self-help stuff and getting into a better spot mentally, I've decided to step out a little bit like away from the promoting for a while and learn more about live sound and see if that's something I really want to do. And also just interested in writing, being a music blogger, maybe do some concert reviews, get back into playing music as well. Like I played saxophone in the high school band and I have a saxophone sitting in my closet that I want to pick up and get back into and play a bit of keyboard maybe and maybe be in a band someday. So all kinds of new ideas and things that I want to do and just kind of realizing that being a big time agent or a promoter takes like 40 to 60 hour weeks. It's a lot of work. And for a main career, I don't think that'd be feasible for me, especially like I want to have a family and I want to have kids. And yeah, I don't think that's going to be a main thing for me. And it was a hard realization too. So,
well, yes. Yeah, for sure. But there's balance in anything, right? Like who knows? The future is like a crazy place, so you can follow all those things. And like I said, you're very goal-oriented, and you have like a lot of ambition of things you want to do. Like, why not just dabble in everything and see what sticks, you know? Grab it all and throw it against the wall and just be like, eh, whatever. Unless you just really want to pinpoint on something.
I find it's easier to pinpoint on something when I have a goal. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it did take me a while to realize this. And I definitely still want to be in the music scene. I'd want to keep putting on shows. But for big time stuff, arenas, yeah. I don't think so. I'd like to stick local and keep the scene going in Ottawa and support local bands. And that's where I started too. And that's where my passion really lies.
So. Yeah. I think my allegiance will always lay within the local. Cause it's my city, you know what I mean? And it's my friends and it's my peers and my community, and any way that I can help it out, I will. And I think you kind of share the same idea. But still, you know, accomplish your own things and try and find a way to help out that and also accomplish your own goals. You know?
Yeah. Can you see me like jamming out on stage with my saxophone and like a cool ska punk band
could.
Or something?
You should have brought it tonight. We could have had like a debut on Ego and Vice. That would have been awesome.
Just would have sounded like a dying goose. I have a lot of practice to do for that, but I can still read sheet music kind of, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Have you ever wanted to play like a different instrument or like try to learn stuff?
Definitely wanted to. Never really put in the full effort. I bought an electric guitar whenever I was in high school and then sold it like a few months later. It just sat in my room. So did you just kill a mosquito?
It was a fruit fly. I got to return my empties.
Oh, not bananas?
No, it's no bananas, no. Yeah, I've had guitars that I've sold. It happens. What are you going to do?
I'll buy another one. I'll try it again.
That's all. I don't give lessons, but hey, I can try. So, seen any cool shows lately?
Yeah, I went to Montreal a few weeks ago to see Parkway Drive, August Burns Red, Polaris, and The Devil Wears Prada.
Nice.
Which was really good.
Where was the venue?
It was at Metropolis, or MTELUS.
Now. Okay, cool. I love Montreal. Montreal is so fun to go, like, see shows and stuff.
Definitely.
I have, like, friends in Montreal that we go down and see once in a while, and we'll hit up some shows. Montreal just has this fucking super sweet vibe when you're down there.
Very multicultural, very busy.
I know, but there's always like cool bands playing and stuff. Last time I was there with the Riptides, and we played the Catacombs. You ever been to the Catacombs?
Mm-hmm.
During Pooza Fest?
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. You ever been to Pooza Fest?
No, but I've promoted it a bunch with Spectrasonic.
Yeah, it's like the punk rock festival in Montreal. I'd never been before. I've always had heard about it.
Makes me want poutine every time I hear that.
We went to La Belle Provence, you know, the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me and the Riptides, and we went there for dinner before we played the show, and we got, like, poutine and, like, hot dogs. And then we played the show, and at, like, 2 in the morning, we went back to La Belle Provence, and we bought, like, 2 giant poutines, and we bought, like...
A double poutine?
They were huge. They were like the size of footballs. There were 2 of them. And we bought like 10 hot dogs and like 10 like pogos, like corn dogs. And we ate the whole fucking thing at like 2:30 in the morning. And we woke up like 3 hours later and drove home. That was a fucking rough drive home.
I can imagine. Sounds kind of awesome, yeah. Though.
We ate at La Belle Provence twice in like 6 hours and then drove home. Like, it was awful.
Did you finish it off with a beaver tail?
No, we didn't have any beaver tails. We should have had some beaver tails. No, just pogos. And one of the wieners fell on the floor. I have a picture of it on the floor.
Please tell me you didn't eat it.
No, it was like the fallen soldier.
I did take a picture of it, though. Yeah. We ate a lot. It was fun, though. I don't know. That was my first trip, I guess, with the Riptides. That was my second show with them. Oh, no, shit. That was my first show with the Riptides.
So that's a good one, Montreal.
Yeah, so that was a pretty exciting. I have like a tour coming up, though. Did I tell you about the tour?
No, please do. Where are you going?
We're leaving on November 8th. We're starting in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, you're going to the States.
Yeah, we're going. It's from November 9th to November 22nd.
Okay.
We're going
not
from
too long.
Atlanta, Georgia to through Texas, Florida, Texas, Orleans, Memphis. We are touring with the Queers and the Ataris.
Sweet. You're going to get away from winter, too, a little bit.
I know, right? It's November. It's just like, what should I pack? Shorts? I think
But
I'm
then you're
going
to come back right in time for us to get hit really hard with all the snow and freezing weather.
I'll come back from the tour super broke, so I can't afford anything for Christmas. But hey, I don't have anything to buy anybody, which is wonderful this Christmas. I'll just buy my cat some catnip and maybe like a little toy with like a little bell on it or something like that.
Hey, you said you're going to Texas. Can you bring me back some like awesome barbecue sauce or something?
Nothing's getting out of Texas because it's all going in my face. Oh, I know. We're going to Houston. We're going to Dallas. We're going to San Antonio. Shit. I can't remember. There's like four stops in Texas. So we're going to be in Texas for probably about 5 days or 6 days. It's going to be a lot of driving because it's like 11 shows in 12 days or something. So, and we're getting crammed into a small vehicle. So. We'll see. You know, it's a test of like character. See where I'm at.
Anyone have bad BO in your band? Hopefully not.
No, they're all good dudes, man. If anybody, it would probably be me. No, I think it's gonna be fucking rad.
I'm stoked to hear about it when you come back.
I know. I've done like tons of touring through Canada, but I've never played in the States before.
Like never.
Never played in the States. No, it's such a hassle because even just getting ready for the this tour, we had to fill out this It's something called the P2. It's almost like a work visa because when you're going there, you have to you're making money technically. We can't bring any of our gear because we have to claim it coming back in or leaving and stuff like that. So we're just going to borrow gear along the way. And it's all kind of set up that way. And we had to apply. I'm technically a member of the... Shit, hang on. Say something witty as I run to the fridge.
Malakalikimaka is a thing to say. On a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that I'll sing to you in the land where palm trees sway.
That reminds me of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I don't know why that came to my head.
That's awesome. I am now officially the member of the Musicians Association of Ottawa Gatineau. We had to
What is this?
This is something... The Musicians Association of Ottawa Gatineau. Like, it's actually like some kind of crazy unionized musician thing. And apparently you can show that at the border and just like breeze right through. I've been playing music for like 25 years. I've never been a musician before.
Are you registered with SOCAN?
Oh, yeah. Well, I am personally. I'm sure like the band is too, but mm-hmm. I am personally with SOCAN. Yes. For the last.
You gotta get your royalties.
Yeah, I haven't made it. Yeah, you get your $7 check every couple of...
Hey, that's more than I expected.
Well, that's not bad. Yeah, so this is pretty cool. I don't know. It's going to be really fun, though. Joining the Riptides has been a trip. Like, honestly, just like some of the shit that has been going on. I don't know. It's pretty fun.
That's awesome. Glad to hear. I need to see you guys play. When are you playing Ottawa?
December 8th at the Dom. We're doing our Christmas show. I can't remember who we're with, though. It's too soon. If it was a Halloween show, I'd probably know it, but I don't.
I will show up in my comedically long Santa hat. It goes all the way to the ground. It's
oh,
great.
I think I saw that on Facebook from like last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I have a Christmas sweater with a dinosaur. It's called, I think it's like the Christmas Rex or something. And as jingle is like bells all over it. It's my ugly Christmas sweater.
Everyone's got one of those.
Yeah. I can't wear that when I play though. I'll be too sweaty.
Especially if you're playing in the States. But that's not around Christmas time.
Around Texas, yeah. But the barbecue, I can't wait to go to like New Orleans for the food.
I can taste the ribs and the pulled pork and the steak right now.
I know. And then go through Texas and hit all like the barbecue joints. We're also getting a tour through Sun Studio where like Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis
that's really cool.
and stuff like that like recorded all their like records back in like the 50s and stuff.
It's pretty easy to get a tour in there.
somebody knew somebody who knows somebody. I'm just there for the ride, so I'm pretty excited about the whole thing. But that's some of the stuff that has been passed around as far as just really, really exciting stuff for the tour. I think we're going to the Forrest Gump house. And I know this has nothing to do with like punk rock, but it's just like little sights to see, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know. A couple other things. Maybe we'll go to the Alamo. Maybe we'll get a picture at the Alamo. I don't know.
Get a beaver hat.
Yeah, like David Crockett. Was David Crockett part of the Alamo? My history's bad.
My history is also bad.
All right, let's just say David Crockett at the Alamo. It's going to be fucking rad. Anyway. Shit, I don't know. Let's play another song. So, yeah, I guess we should kind of wrap this up. We're at like an hour, I think. Wow. Sheila, it's been amazing to have you back on. I'm super happy that you came back in.
Thank you very much. It was good to be back.
Yeah, it's always fun to see you. It's always good to sit down and shoot the shit and see what's up.
Definitely.
Because you're always busy. You always have something on the go. And I don't know. You have a YouTube channel?
I'm going to be starting a YouTube channel in the next few weeks, posting videos, speaking, kind of getting used to that so I can have my own podcast, just kind of dipping my toes in a little bit. And I'd like to talk about my self-improvement process and all kinds of things.
Cool. Well, you should totally come back on, like, once you get the YouTube channel up, and maybe you'll have the podcast running by then, and you'll have everything, like, going. You'll probably have, like, 20 of your Sisters in the Cities done by then.
Yeah. Because you're all... I'd love to talk about that some more. Yeah, maybe I'll have other articles. Maybe I'll have a podcast by then.
I know. It's going to be crazy. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you have going on in the future, and I think the good listener should follow her the best you can, and more links will come up here, the way you can, like... see everything that Sheila's doing. But until then, we'll just hang out and, you know,
shoot the shit a little more.
Do our stuff, right? Do our thing. This has been episode 48 of Ego and Vice. If you want to get a hold of me, you can reach me at egoandvice@gmail.com. If you want to listen to the podcast, you can go to egoandvice.com. I'm available on iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, Facebook, anywhere you want to listen to cool podcasts, I guess. As for my good pal, Sheila Dennison, thank you so much again.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, she'll be back on. Like I said, this was a weird format one because we just kind of talked about whatever we felt like it. I'll be back next week with a good pal of mine from a band called Life on Trial. His name is Blake Hipson. Till then, this is episode number 48 of Ego and Vice. We'll see you next week.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.